Our gospel reading today is from John 20, beginning with verse 19, found on page 883 in your pew Bible. When it was evening on that day, this is the day of resurrection, Easter day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I am a musical person, and I love listening to the radio. I love listening to Christian music, and I'm so often ministered by the songs that play on the radio, because music and lyric have the power to affect me deeply. You know, why is a song written? What is the song saying? Often it's a story being told. It's not a lecture. It's not advice. It's emotion that comes from a deep place in the artist's heart. Do you know Toby Mac? Anyone know Toby Mac? Toby Mac has been around the Christian contemporary scene since at least the 1980s. He sang with DC Talk and became a solo artist. He has had an amazing influence on modern Christian music. His most recent release, which came out in 2022, is called Life After Death. And the songs from that album come from a deep place of his own pain and loss. The father of five tragically lost his firstborn son to an accidental drug overdose in 2019. In the midst of unimaginable sorrow, he wasn't sure if he'd ever be able to write another song or stand on another stage again. But slowly the songs came. The first song was called 21 Years. His son was 21 when he died. It's poured out as a portrait of raw grief. And then a glimmer of hope followed with the song Faithfully. It's an honest picture of a man who's experienced the goodness of God in the deepest of valleys. In your darkest hour, he will be there, Toby says. Maybe you've heard the song. It's one of the well-played songs on Christian radio. It goes like this. "It's been a long year. It almost took me down, I swear. Life was so good, I'm not sure we knew what we had. I'll never be the same man. I'll never feel like I felt before. It's been a hard year. It almost took me down. But when my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, but I'm a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully. Some hard things have happened to people in our church. Loss of friends, loss of a son, illness, surgery. I think Toby Mac's statement and title of his album is very appropriate, Life After Death. Is there life after death? Is there hope? Can Christ's resurrection lift our weary spirits? Today our gospel is that evening after the resurrection, one week later. I've read this section hundreds of times and preached on it dozens of times, but I've never looked at it through the lens of grief before. When tragedy strikes us, what can we hold on to? Our brains have what's called the limbic system. And the limbic system is where every thought and action, it's filtered through that system. It's the emotional part of our brain. It's the feeling part of our brain. It also triggers danger when something happens that's traumatic. And if you think about those disciples on that Sunday evening, they were traumatized to see their Lord suffer and die the way he did. And then to hear this news that he had risen from the dead and they hadn't seen him yet. The limbic brain is in the emotions of fight, flight, or freeze. And they are locked in the room, it says, for fear of the Jews. They are utterly traumatized. If you've lost someone, you know what that's like. Loss is kind of like a fog. You don't really know what's going on. You can be driving somewhere. We've talked about this in our grief group. And all of a sudden you arrive and you don't know how you got there because you don't remember any of the things that happened in between. It's kind of dangerous to do that. But that's what loss is. It traumatizes us. And you forget things. You can't concentrate. When you go through something hard, you have to grab onto something you can trust. You have to grab onto a promise of God. That is something you can trust. And make sure, though, the promise you grab onto is one that God has given. We know the story well. Jesus enters this room miraculously. The doors are locked. They're grieving. They're afraid. The women have had encounters with the risen Lord. Mary herself even saw the Lord and spoke to him. But Jesus enters and the disciples see him with their own eyes. And he says, "Peace be with you." He showed them his hands and side, and the disciples rejoiced. And he said again, "Peace be with you." And he breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now that's some tangible evidence, isn't it? Jesus appearing in bodily form through the locked doors. He shows them his scars. This happened to him. This really happened. It wasn't something they dreamed up. And he calms their fears by his physical presence. He gives them the Holy Spirit so when he's away, they will have him with them always. And his words are calming. He calms their fears by saying, "Peace be with you." But the story goes on. Thomas, one of the 12, was not there. Disciples said, "We've seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the mark of nails in his hands and put my finger in his side, I will not believe." What compels him to respond like this? Is he really such a doubter? We could maybe rename him Grieving Thomas, right? Or Emotional Thomas? Or Limbic Brain Thomas, right? He needed the same reassurance the other disciples had been given. The evidence of Christ's resurrection. He didn't have anything yet to hold on to. He wanted to see the Lord too. He needed the word from the Lord. He needed something tangible to trust in. Remember, this is still the first night of the resurrection. When you go through something really hard, you have to grab onto something you can trust. You have to grab onto the promise of God, but make sure that that promise is one that God has made. Toby Mac continues with his song, "I've had a hard time finding the blue in the skies above me, and if I'm keeping it real, I've been half faking the happy they see. I may look like the same man, but I'm half the man I was. It's been a hard year. It almost took me down. But when my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, but I'm a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully." Thomas asked for what he needed, and Jesus came. He says to him, to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answers the most profound profession of faith in the Gospel of John, "My Lord and my God." Thomas needed a promise to hold on to. He was given Jesus, his presence, the evidence, and Thomas moved from "if only I could see the Lord, if" to "then." That's a promise that we can hold on to when he says, "My Lord and my God." Other Bible translations phrase that segment about doubt in this way, which is actually closer to the original Greek. The Amplified Bible says, "Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And the Message similarly says, "Don't be unbelieving, believe." Toby Mac says, "In my darkest hour, you met me. So quietly, so gently. You said you'd never leave, and you stood by your word. So quietly, so gently, in all my pain, you met me. You said you'd never leave, and you stood by your word. Because when my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, but I'm a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully." Over the years, the church has given Thomas the title of Doubting Thomas, haven't they? And then seeing Jesus' words to Thomas sort of as a rebuke that he didn't have enough faith. He says, the Bible says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Jesus could have said it this way: "Because you needed my physical presence, Thomas, I came back, and now you believe. Now I'm saying something for people outside this room, people who will not be able to physically see me, but know that I am with them, and they believe." In an interview with Toby Mac about losing his son so tragically, he says these very true words as someone, and this is spoken from someone who has gone to a very deep and a very dark place. He says, "When you go through something hard, you have to grab onto something you can trust. You have to grab onto a promise of God. But make sure the promise you grab on to is one that God made. You may think a promise of God is, if you believe in Jesus, you won't face hard things. You'll have a good life. You don't need to worry about the hard things of life because those won't happen to you. If God was loving, he would never put you through tough things." But that's not what God says. Jesus himself says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the worlds. Toby says, the promise that is from God is this: He will never leave you or forsake you. God will never leave you or forsake you. And he also talked about, he says that God doesn't take away the cold. He's right there with us. And that is where the community also works. It surrounds us with the prayers and the hope and the encouragement of others. Moving from if to then is also the journey that Mary and Martha were on after their brother Lazarus died. They say to Jesus when he finally arrives, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They think they know the way that Jesus should answer this problem, that he should have come earlier so that Lazarus would not have died. But Jesus answers, I'm the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Martha says, I know he'll rise in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So you may think a promise of God is that you won't have to face hard things. But the promise that we want to hold on to and need to hold on to is God will never leave or forsake you. A lot of us here in this room have gone through a lot of hard things. Some of our friends are going through something very hard right now. And what we need to do is hold on to the promise of God. Move from if to then is grabbing to a true promise of God, as it says in Deuteronomy. Be strong and courageous, do not fear or be in dread for them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And it repeats again in verse 8 of chapter 31. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And remember the promise of Jesus just before he ascended into heaven. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. One of the fine classes that I took in seminary was on suffering. And our professor told the story of a fishing village in northern Canada where so tragically so many of the men of that village have died at sea. And how do you speak hope into a place like that where there's so much tragedy and so much death? And every time your husband or your son goes out to fish, you don't even know if they'll return because the seas are dangerous. And he said, the only thing that these people could hold on to in faith is the fact that the Lord was always with them, that he would not leave or forsake them, that he would be walking with them in their suffering, because that's what he does. He is the Lord, as Toby Mac has sung. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I think many of us can resonate with Toby Mac's song. It's been a hard year, and it almost took me down. Lord, when we don't have the faith to believe that you can make something good come out of something horrendous, we pray you would just come alongside us as the comforter, and that you would put your arm around us and remind us in deep pain, you are with us. Lord, thank you for this strange story of Thomas and the upper room. And we often wonder, why didn't you just wait until Thomas was in the room instead of having him not be there? Well, I think so that we can relate to Thomas, that we can ask you, Lord, for what we need. And when we need your presence, that we can pray, Lord, I need you. I need you to come alongside me. I need you to be with me right now. I'm going to try this because Lord, you are real. You are risen. And pray that you would be faithful to us and inspire faith for us to live for you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.